you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward. I'm riding solo today, but shout out to my co-host, Mr. Patrick Hurst. And remember that the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc., and that's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information about PAX Inc., make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization and all the initiatives that they have going on. If you click the menu, and you'll see their different tabs within the menu with drop-down boxes, especially the Learning Center. So if you hover your mouse over that Learning Center tab, a drop-down box will come up. And a whole bunch of resources that you can use, from videos to lessons to just educational lessons, survival information, books, audio, all those things there. So also on the front page is something, you'll see something that says Amazon Smile. So PAX Inc. is a part of the Amazon Smile program. So if you're not aware, the Amazon Smile program is designed for organizations such as PAX Inc. to be able to fundraise. So let's say I'm a buyer on Amazon. I like to buy books, so I go buy some books off of Amazon. But I also register with the Amazon Smile program. When I register with the Amazon Smile program, a portion of the proceeds will go to an organization of my choosing. So I would register with Amazon Smile. I would choose PAX Inc. as the organization that I want to support. And every time I make a purchase on Amazon Smile, it will go to support an organization such as PAX Inc. or whatever organization you choose with Amazon Smile. But, you know, choose PAX Inc. So once again, that website for PAX Inc. is www.pactsinc.org, and that way you can register with the Amazon Smile program right from the website. Also, make sure y'all check out our Freedom Train app, our Freedom Train Network app. It's available for Android. You know, the iPhone stuff is a little tricky, but that way you can stay up to date on all the podcasts and all the information that we have about the Freedom Train Network. You don't have to go searching nowhere. You don't have to try to find it. It's going to find you. And you can download our app on our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, or you can get it from the Google Play Store. All you got to do is type in Freedom Train Network. All right, so we got a good one today. You know, we've been talking about several things the last couple of weeks. We had an interview a couple of weeks ago with Mr. Eric Thomas where we talked about financial literacy. Last week we talked about, well, we did our first part of our breakdown of Ice Cube's Contract for Black America, and we will be continuing that series as well. But I want to, and I told y'all for a while, it's two conversations I want to have more of. Conversations about sex and sexuality for our community, conversations about financial literacy, building wealth, financial independence for our community, because I think those are two important conversations that we need to have. So this week we will be continuing a conversation about financial literacy, a conversation about building wealth, building legacies that we can literally pass on to our children. So this young man, I interviewed him before on the Fix Sports podcast. His name is Jonathan Kelly. He is from Tallahassee, Florida. He's a former athlete turned entrepreneur who financial literacy is something that he's using to turn his life around and to help others enhance their lives. So he's interested in things like Forex, Bitcoin, and he's a life insurance salesman. He's into real estate, and he's also an entrepreneur growing different businesses. So I want everybody to put their hands together, or everybody just welcome Mr. Jonathan Kelly to the Freedom Train podcast series, man. How you doing today?
Thank you, thank you. I'm great, man. I'm blessed. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Now, and we appreciate you for being here because, like I said, I wanted to continue this conversation about financial literacy, and you reached out to me, so it was right on time. And I was like, all right, well, let's go ahead and make this happen. Because, you know, last time I had you on my sports podcast, we got into it, but we talked about it from the realm of you being able to find yourself as a successful businessman in the life after sports.
Right.
But now I want to go deeper into your businesses and what you do, because financial literacy is something that you definitely push hard, and I definitely appreciate that for our community.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Yeah, definitely.
So, yes, sir. So before we get deep into what you do and how you build your wealth and how you build your financial intelligence, can you give our audience here on the Freedom Train podcast series, can you tell us who you are and how has financial intelligence changed your life?
Yeah, man. Like you said, I'm Jonathan Kelly. I'm from Tallahassee. Went to FAMU, as you know, ex-athlete. And, yeah, I actually created basically a brand that was basically a mirror of who I was, which is one of them, which I think when we talked, I was just kind of starting it, which was Live to Create. And with that brand, it's a it's a clothing line, but it's basically centered around, you know, positivity. It's centered around growth. It's centered around financial literacy. Is everything I do, the shirts and the different things that I have are going to resemble something with that. Like I have one shirt that says passion plus purpose equals profits, you know? And I have another shirt that says assets over liabilities, you know, stuff like that. So I created that brand to kind of showcase who I was, you know? So I'm a life insurance agent. So a lot of things have changed since we last spoke, man. I'm actually a life insurance agent now. I've started another company called The Profit Moguls that actually is a trading, it's a trading course. I teach people how to trade, how to understand market structure, how to read the charts and different things like that, which can go from not just stocks, but you can do big crypto, you can do stock market, you can do foreign foreign exchange market. There's so much you can do with it if you understand that skill, if you have that skill set. Yeah, so just a lot of different things that I'm doing right now, man, but it's all still aligned with, like you said, that financial literacy.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Because I know I have, since we last talked, I have gotten more. I was investing then, but I was more of a pedestrian investor. So money was going in, but I wasn't really investing. I was more of a novice investing. This company sounds good, or I know this company case, I just invest here. But now I'm more focused, I'm more studied, and I'm also learning more about trading. So I'm glad that you have that going on. I definitely, that's information I need to check out, because, you know, those charts can be a bit difficult, but once you learn them, it go from looking like Mandarin to just normal, regular stuff, you know.
Exactly. It's Japanese candlesticks, man. That's exactly what it is. So people tell me it looks like a foreign language. I said, well, it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it is.
Candlesticks. Yeah, these candlesticks represent price over time. And it's another language.
Right.
It's just in the form of a candlestick, you know.
Right. Yeah. And see, I'm glad that you have the willingness to teach others, and I'm glad that you see the need within our community for financial intelligence, financial literacy on all forms, because investing can come in many different forms. So that's another reason why I'm excited about this is we get to talk about a couple different forms of investing. So before we get into them, though, you made a transition from athlete to entrepreneur. And I know a lot of times people will see certain athletes be able to make that transition, and it seems seamless. But you have to remember, like on the college team, it could be 100 people on, especially like football, it could be 100 people on one college team. Basketball, it could be 12 15 people on the college team. And you might just see one person make the transition. That's less than 1%. So how were you able to make your successful transition from not just being remembered for your athletic days, but being able to build a legacy as an entrepreneur?
Honestly, it was just something that I kept feeling, getting like I was getting pulled towards, you know? Like everything I would do, it just kept taking me down that road. Like, for example, I almost became a mortgage loan officer, you know, like maybe 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. I was that close to becoming a mortgage loan officer, but I felt like that wasn't where God wanted me. But I wanted to do something in that realm, in that industry. And I knew it was something with finance. It was something with money, dealing with that. I just didn't know what it was. And over the years, you know, I've always done sales. So I know that I'm good at sales. That's my thing. But I knew there was something more where I could run a business or be more mm-hmm. not so stuck in a box, you know, like where I'm at Verizon in a retail environment or I'm at Comcast doing this in a sales role, but I'm doing outside sales now. I wanted those get that experience, and I wanted to get that actually sales techniques and different things that I learned, but I knew that wasn't my end-all, say-all. I knew, like, okay, this is just a stepping stone. It's something I'm supposed to do. So I kept getting pulled, you know, over the last probably 4 or 5 years, done real estate deals, done a lot of good trades, made money, things like that, but I was like, this isn't it. So how I mm-hmm. transitioned into it was I kept trying things. I just tried. And I tell people, you cannot be afraid to try things even if it may right. be hard or you don't know anybody that does it. Yeah. I didn't know a lot of people that was doing what I was doing, you know, but I knew that if I learned how to do it, I would be good. You know, I would make a way so that it would work out for me, that it would benefit me in the long run. And that's really what I looked towards yeah. was if I can just try something, see if I like it, see how it is, and if I'm good at it or if I like to do it, then I just, you know, I keep doing it. And that's how it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's real, because you do have to fail your way to finding your talent mm-hmm. and your passion, because, mm-hmm. you know, I tell people all the time, like my friends and I, we've been trying this entrepreneur stuff since we was 19. And mm-hmm. I ain't going to lie, sometimes you'll hear people tell their stories how they started something at a young age, a year or two, and it was able to blow up and things. But you got to understand, that's not the average everyday entrepreneur. So
right.
most people do fail their way to success, and you're going to go through a lot of things. Like I found out, you know, talking is one of the things that's my talent. That's my passion. Like I can mm-hmm. I can conduct interviews. I can do other things. I can give information, but talking is one of those things that is there for me. So I'm definitely there with you, and I second that for anybody who's listening. You can't be afraid to fail. Definitely mm-mm. can't be afraid. You can't be afraid to put in hard work. You can't be afraid to go through hard times. So,
right.
I know you, within the athletic realm, you played ball overseas a bit, correct?
I didn't go overseas. I played here in the States. I played in the ABA. Okay. I played in the WBA up in Georgia. So I played in Jacksonville, okay. Atlanta, Rome, Georgia. I was going to go overseas, okay. but I didn't like that specific contract, so I turned it down and
right.
didn't really pursue it much after that. I actually got hurt before a tryout, man. It was crazy. I got hurt and injured before a tryout for a mm-hmm. it's called a runner, but these overseas scouts, they come to America and they check players out. Well, I went up to Atlanta to try out for this scout from France, and literally the day before the tryout, I got attacked by a pit bull, and he bit the mess out of my arm, man, and I couldn't play. Crazy. Wow. Yeah, when that happened, that dude, I was like, yeah, it's crazy because, you know, I'm getting ready. I'm up there ready to work out. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm like, look, I'm about to kill this workout and get a nice deal from a contract in France, whatever, from a scout in France, and literally the dog bit me. He bit me on my left arm, but it was so swollen mm-hmm. and so bad that I couldn't use it, you know? And it just turned out that, you know what, I don't think this basketball thing for me to keep pursuing it is supposed to be my purpose. It was something that I always dreamt of and wanted to do, but I don't think it was the purpose God had for me. It wasn't in my destiny. And that's when I started looking at, you know, other avenues. Because, I mean,
right.
basketball was great, but it's like, If it was gonna be things like this happening, it was like it seemed like everything was trying to stop me.
I got you. So what was your level of financial intelligence at that time?
Oh man, not much at all.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. This was 2007. This was 2007. So 13
okay.
years ago.
Okay.
I will be honest. At that point, I didn't know anything about real estate. I had never owned a house, never invested in real estate, never knew about any of that world. Didn't know anything about stocks. didn't know anything. You know, I knew we was like in a recession, but I didn't understand really what that meant. Now I know, but it's like back then,
right.
I didn't have any assets. There was nothing for me to lose. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was nothing for me that, you know, I didn't benefit or lose during that time. Nothing. You know, I was like 23 years old. It was like I didn't lose anything. I didn't gain anything. It was kind of one of those areas where I wish I would have known something. I would have taken a great advantage of it during that time, because I had, you know, I had no debt. I had no bills, basically. It was just I had no kids, so I didn't have any dependents or anything. It was like I could have literally took all the risk at that time and went into the stock market or went into Forex during that time if I would have known. But, yeah, just
right.
didn't know. And having that information is the biggest key.
Yeah, I didn't even know Forex existed at that time. Like, first time I heard of Forex, like a year or two ago, I thought it was just something brand new. I didn't know Forex had already been around. People been exchanging foreign currencies. So, because 2008, I remember I was working at the Civic Center for, like, the catering crew for the Civic Center. I remember we would watch the news and they would talk about the recession of 08. But, you know, we didn't feel it. We didn't have enough money to feel it. So, I'm with you on not being financially literate at that point. That's why I asked, because I know myself, I didn't know. I know somebody had introduced me to what the S&P 500 was, but I still didn't really fully understand what the S&P 500 was, and I really didn't understand what stocks was, because it was always presented to us that it was gambling rather than understanding the information in front of you, being able to break it down. So with what we're saying, because we're talking about financial intelligence, financial literacy. So in your opinion, from your experience, from your time growing as an entrepreneur, growing in your financial intelligence, why is it important for just anyone to have financial intelligence? And what's the best way for a person to build their financial intelligence?
So the reason it's important is because, one, the world, you know, the way you make it in the world, or one big way, is money. So you want to know not only how to make money, you want to know how to keep money. And then to take it a little bit further, a step further, you don't want to know just how to keep money. You want to know how to grow money. Right?
Right.
So if you have a good job where, let's say you make 100 grand, but your expenses are 120 grand, well, you're $20,000 in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're living check to check. You're struggling. So you got to know how to budget. You got to know about credit. You got to know how to leverage your credit. You got to know how to grow your money and not just let it sit in the bank account and lose value because of inflation. You know, it's just so much I have no idea that I've learned over the years and working with different people, talking to different people, that I'm like, that's how they did this. Okay, that's how they made that money, you know. And you just start to see. And a good way to do it is honestly two ways: read and study and research, and also get around people that are already doing it. That's the two best ways.
Right.
Right.
You know, our community, and it depends on what segment of the black community as well. Building wealth is frowned upon. Building wealth is seen as what white people do. And I know that's something that we need to really change within our community, because we are the sources of wealth being built for like white people within this country. So we need to really understand, like you said, within the world, money make the world go round, but money also make it for people to be able to thrive, to eat, to be comfortable, to be able to pass legacies down, and financial intelligence is there. But like you say, reading. So real quick, can you recommend some books or some different websites and things people could go to help grow that financial literacy?
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely recommend the one that I started with that pretty much changed my whole outlook on money was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That's a very famous book.
Right.
A lot of people know about it. But
Right.
The majority of people don't really understand what it can do for you when you realize that money is just a tool. That's all it is. Money is a tool. It's not. I hate to say it because most people think I'm crazy, but money isn't real. Money is not real. It's
right.
a vehicle. It's a tool. It's a tool because
right.
it's just a piece of paper. We put the value in money. You know, it's not like it's
right.
gold where it's a
right.
physical thing that actually came from the earth and that, you know, it's paper. People create it every day. They make
right.
millions and billions of dollars a day where they just print more. So what value does that have? Zero, which is one of the reasons the dollar is crashing right now and the economy is going to crash because of all the money they put out there where
yeah.
there's nothing back in it. You know, and
right.
I've been saying this since February. I saw that all of this coming because I could see what stocks were doing. I could see what the dollar was doing ever since February. And sure enough, I've been saying we was in a recession since February, and it came out over the summer that we've been in a recession since February. They just didn't want to say
yeah.
nothing back then because they wanted to, you know, keep it a secret with all this corona stuff happening. But, yeah, man, just understanding how money works, understanding how you actually can use money and use credit. Like, that's why I like that book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Another good one is Think and Grow Rich. That's a good one. Think and Grow
yeah.
Rich, because you really have to understand that it starts with your mindset. Like, I can give you $1 million and give somebody $1 million that's been poor all their life, right? They will not know
right.
how to make
right.
money with that $1 million. Only thing they know how to do is spend it.
Yeah,
that's all they've done. They've never actually made money. They've always worked for it, or it was given to them through, you know, some type of assistance. But they've never actually made it. They just always worked for it. Which the number one way to work, the number one way to make money for real, is not trading time for money. And that's what I had to learn. So when I read that book,
right.
Joseph, I realized I have to stop trading time for money. And that's when I started
right.
coming up with all these different ways to make money without me getting up going to work. That was just one stream. I said, you know what? I made a decision 2 years ago. I said, I want to have 7 streams of income. That was my goal. It didn't matter how much. I just wanted 7 streams. Because I knew if I could get one that I worked with my time, the other ones weren't going to be, it was going to be more passive. And I wanted that passive residual income.
Right, right.
So that's it.
Yeah, that will get you there on those passive streams. Because when it clicked to me, it really clicks. It's like, okay, I can make money. I can literally sit here on this couch and make money. All I have to do is create something that can
mm-hmm.
keep producing money for me, something that can work
exactly.
for me, make my money work for me. Like, that's one thing I love about the stock market and investing is, being able to see that I put this amount of money in and see how much that money has made me. So
mm-hmm.
I really, really, really enjoy that. So
yep.
So let's talk about different ways of making our money work for us. So, and one,
mm-hmm.
I know you've been promoting for a while. You've been in it for a good while, is Forex. So
mm-hmm.
for those who, and could you like really break it down? Because the reason why I say
mm-hmm.
it like that, because a lot of people believe that you have to, in order to participate in Forex, you have to be a part of somebody's team. A lot of times Forex is presented to people as an MLM
mm-hmm.
or is presented to people like a scheme. So that's why I'm asking it like that. So
mm-hmm.
kind of break down what it is, the advantages of trading Forex, and
mm-hmm.
what it takes to become a Forex trader.
Okay. Yeah, so with Forex, it stands for foreign exchange market, and it is actually
mm-hmm.
like a $6 to $7 trillion market, right? And that's per day. That's how much money is going
mm-hmm.
through the market per day. You have institutional traders, which means banks. So let me put it to you this way. All the money that we put in banks, they're trading it. They're trading it
right.
during the London session. There's 4 sessions, London, Asian, New York, and Australian. They're trading it in those
mm-hmm.
different sessions while we're asleep. That money is moving. Money, like the old saying,
right.
money never sleeps. It truly never sleeps.
Right.
It's always moving, right? So with that, we realize that money always moves, whether it's from here to London, London to Australia. The money's always going to Japan, whatever. And the money is being converted. When it's being converted, that's foreign exchange. So if I fly over to France right now, no, Germany right now, if I fly over to Germany, I'm going to exchange my money for euros. If I fly over to Australia, I'm going to exchange it for the Aussie dollar. If I fly over to Japan, I'm going to exchange it for yen. That's how the money works. Now, when you're getting it back, they give it to you at a different rate, a rate of return, which means it can go up or down. All Forex is means I can do it from a computer or phone without having to travel across the world. That's the only difference. It's the same thing, but I'm doing it from a phone or a computer. And I'm able to not have to be there to give them my money. I'm giving it to a broker. So if I give $100 to a broker, I place a trade on the UJ, the U.S. dollar and the yen, and I place a sale, and it goes down, I just made money. And it doesn't matter if it goes up or down. That's why I love it. Stocks, people normally trade stocks that go up, right? I trade price. Mm-hmm. I don't own shares in anything. I don't have to own shares in a company. That's why I like Forex, because one, it's 24 hours. The U.S. stock market is from 9:30 to 5 every day, right? Monday through Friday. The foreign exchange market starts Sunday at 5 and ends Friday at 5, but it goes 24 hours throughout that time, you know. And I don't have to own anything. I can just get in and get out. It's just so many things that I love about it, and so many ways to make money.
So let me ask this, because you said whether if you put money in, whether the price of the exchange goes up or down, you make money. Break that down for me real quick, so I can just make sure I understand.
Yeah. First, let me explain this too, because I forgot to answer your question. No, you don't have to be in any group, team, organization, none of that. I want to make that clear. A lot of people are giving Forex a bad name, and I hate it because it's turning people off from it, because they're like, hey, sign up with my team, turn your phone into an ATM, all this BS, and it's just not true.
Right.
They're making it sound like it's so easy, anybody can get in and make money day one, and it's just not true. What they're not telling you is they want you to sign people up to make money. They want you to tell people about it. They want you to get on all these calls and webinars, and they want you to give them a monthly subscription. You don't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, people, like, I got a cousin that just joined IM Academy a few weeks ago. He didn't talk to me. He didn't tell me nothing. I would have told him not to do it, you know, because you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. They're not teaching people the right way to trade. You know, they're setting people up for failure because they're giving you the basics. They're giving you a little bit, but they're not really getting you over that hump that you really need to, which is the psychology portion. Trading is 90% psychology, man. Like, you can have all the technical analysis in the world, but I'm telling you, man, it is so much psychology involved in trading. You will really learn yourself. You'll know if you're greedy. You'll know if you're impulsive. You're going to learn yourself so good. And, you know, and that really is why 90-something percent of traders fail. It's why they don't make it. You know, it's why they start and then quit.
Yeah. You really have to understand the psychology of it. I'm learning the trade now, so I'm still doing the paper trading. And like this past week, I came into the week like on a 10-day winning streak with my trades, and end up losing $3,000 and wiping out all the gains I made. And I'm sitting there Friday.
Right.
It's paper money now. It ain't the real money. It's paper money.
It's
I'm sitting there, my eyes all watery. But my eyes are watery because I'm like, man, I didn't lost $3,000. And it's like you say,
real money.
Man, look here, I'd have been on the float.
That's what I'm saying.
But the psychology.
You would have quit. You would have quit.
Yeah.
A lot of people would have been like, man, I ain't doing this no more. I just lost $3,000. And they'll quit. But they don't realize that's exactly what it is. You're going to win and you're going to lose. You have to take trades that are risk to reward ratio wise. They have to be worth it. I don't even take trades unless it's a 3-to-1 trade. Because there's no point. Like, if I'm risking, you know, talking like a little bit about trading, if I'm risking 30 pips, I want to make at least 80 or 90 pips. That's 3-to-1. I'm not taking a trade that I'm going to risk. I'm going to risk 30 pips just to make 30 pips. That don't make sense.
Nah, I'm
with you. You know what I'm saying? My gains, my gains need to outdo my losses if I go on a losing streak.
Let's see, that's one thing that I really learned this past week is, first of all, the difference between a trading strategy and a trading plan, and also what's your risk management within your trading plan. Because I just had a strategy. I didn't have a plan or a risk management. I just had a strategy because I thought my strategy was my plan, but now I see your strategy is one part of it. So, yeah,
right.
You can do day trade, you can do swing, yeah, stuff like that. But, yeah, it's
intraday.
So I'm glad you're talking about it from that aspect. Swing. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So for you, I know you said that Forex market is you have access to more money and then you have more time to actually go in and make your trades and things. But what's the reason you chose Forex over the stock market, and what are some of the similarities and differences between Forex and the stock market?
So I chose Forex for two main reasons: time and volatility, the two main things.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the Forex because I realize that, one, I can wake up like I get up early. And I like to trade. The only two sessions I trade is London and New York.
Okay.
So literally, I'll wake up. The London session starts at about 2 or 3 a.m., and that's when price starts to move. If I get into a trade then, I'll stay in that trade throughout the London session, and then the New York session, I might stay in it all day, which is from, you know, the time the New York session opens at 9 until 5 and get out by 5, or some days I might swing it, and I might stay in for 2 to 3 days. It all depends on what pair I'm trading, and it depends on what's going on with the market. You know, like, because news,
right,
what I had to learn was news affects the money.
Yes, it does.
You know, I watched Trump tweet something one day, and he said something, and I watched the dollar just do something stupid. I was like, what in the world? I just watched like U.S. 30 or Dow Jones, which is U.S. 30. S&P 500, I watch how they react to news, you know? So I'm just like, dang, and it's election year too? I don't know what's going to happen when the election, around election time. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
So that's what really is. And it's more volatile. Very volatile. So I like volatile markets because I know if I'm in trend, you know, and learning to trade in trend is a skill too, because when you're trading with trend, you're going with the institutional traders, with the banks. You never want to trade against the bank. Never trade against the banks, because the banks are the ones that move the market, not us. We do not move the markets. So you got to always do what they're doing. And that's the main thing.
So what are some of the similarities and differences? Because can you take some of your Forex knowledge and be able to successfully trade within the stock market?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I was calling stock trades just by looking at candlestick analytics, like by understanding market structure. Like, I started seeing, I forgot which stock it was, but I started seeing lower lows and lower highs, and I was like, oh, this is about to drop. It ain't going back up, because I saw it didn't make a higher high. So when you understand price action and you understand market structure, if it doesn't make a higher high, it's not going up anymore. That means it's hitting resistance, and it has to go back to support before it can go back up. So I knew if I saw a higher high, I was looking for a higher low, and then it was going to go back up. But if I saw a high and I didn't see any higher highs, then I was looking for a lower low. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm glad you said it like
reading
that.
The candles. Yeah, it's telling a story, man. When you look at the candlestick, you got to really zoom out to the higher time frames, like 4 hour daily. And it's going to tell you exactly what it's doing, but you got to look on the higher time frame. I see some people crazy, man. They trade on, like, the 1 minute, the 5 minute. I'm like, you don't know what price is doing in 1 minute or five minutes.
Right.
You know, you got to look at the hour, the 4 hour. That. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Okay. Now, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. So, cryptocurrency. That's another thing that you're into. A lot of us, we either hear what we hear about cryptocurrency through the streets, or what we think we hear through the news, interpreting what's being said. But can you tell us, like, how is the cryptocurrency market doing right now? Like, is it still going? Is it still alive? Is it still profiting? Are people still in it? What happened with, like, because I know we heard somebody, like the guy who created Bitcoin sold off his ownership. So, like, what's going on with the cryptocurrency market? Like, if somebody is trading cryptocurrency, what are some of the good ones to trade? And, like, what's just good about investing in cryptocurrency?
So with crypto, they base it off the dollar. So it pretty much does the opposite of what the dollar does most times. So, like, Bitcoin, for example, it was going up, but now that the dollar is starting to get strong and hit a level of support, Bitcoin is starting to go back down. So Bitcoin created a higher high, and then, of course, now it's creating a higher low, which means it's going back down. Bitcoin, people think that that's the only crypto, but, you know, there's thousands of crypto altcoins out there, cryptocurrency, but it's just digital currency. You know, like, it's not really nothing special. It's just digital currency where you can pay for things without having to pull out, you know, your wallet or pull out a card or cash. It's a digital wallet. So I can send you money via Bitcoin, and you can keep it in Bitcoin or you can convert it into the U.S. dollar, which is where
– right.
That's really where currency is going, man. They're trying to eventually get rid of the dollar, and everything's going to be digital probably within the next few years. That's what we'll see. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt to get yourself some Ripple now, Litecoin. If I was getting anything, the only thing I'm worried about now is getting more Ripple, more Litecoin. I'm sorry, Chainlink. Chainlink is a big one. That was going to be huge. Chainlink, Ripple, and Bitcoin are my three, like, main ones that I'm trying to stack up on right now. Like, for the rest of this year, I'm just going to be putting all of my extra money into those.
And so what's the difference between them? Like, you said Chainlink, Ripple, Bitcoin, like Litecoin. Like, what's the difference between the different?
The main difference is what they do. So, like, different, like Ripple, for example, a lot of banks are adopting Ripple. So before you know it, maybe by next year, you'll see Ripple where people in banks are using Ripple. You know, they're moving Ripple all through banks. When that happens, that's when you're going to see it take off. So you want to already have it. You want to get it while it's at 24 cents, not when it gets to $24, which still is going to be cheap.
Right.
But imagine if you get it at 24 cents. Like, I have 11,000 something shares of Ripple right now, and I bought it at like 14 cents. So I've only been making money on that. But it still ain't really shot up like it's supposed to and like it will, but I know that I want to get more while it's under a dollar. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So that's why I said, you know what? I want to get as much Ripple as I can now, because when it does shoot up like to $5, $6, $10, which is still low, Ripple is going to be one of those things where it'll get to in the hundreds probably within the next year or two. That's why you want to get it before it does that, because once this dollar crashes and everybody turns digital, oh, man, you're going to want to have all your Bitcoin and Ripple by then.
I do know that cryptocurrency that digital currency is the future. That definitely is the future. Because I just tell anybody, study the history of currency. It's always changed. It's always changed. So the dollar bills have only been here for a certain amount of time. Like I said, that's dying down, and it is moving to something in the future, which is the cryptocurrency, which is the everything you just explained. So,
Think about Bitcoin.
I appreciate that.
Just think about Bitcoin and what it was in, I'll just say, 2015, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Five years ago, you could have got it for $200 per Bitcoin.
Right.
In 2018, beginning of 2018, end of 2017, it went up to right around $20,000.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what if you had invested just $1,000 and got 5 Bitcoins? You would have had $100,000. You see what I'm saying?
Good.
You would have had $100,000. because it went from literally 200, it went from $200 for five to 20,000. And I'm probably wrong with that. You probably would have had more than $100,000. Let me see, 200, if it goes to, you got five. Oh, I would have to do the math, but you would have had a lot more money than what you put in, just $1,000.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, but that's the power of investing, the power of compounding interest and just money stacking. Yep. Like, you're putting your money in places where it can grow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing. Like, to be able, like I say, to be able to, like, put $20 in the bank and put $20 invested in something that's going to actually make your money grow and come back in a month's time and see the difference. And you're going to be like, ah, dang, well, I know you can put some money in the bank, but you want to put make sure you put money in places to grow.
That's it.
All right, so you, like I say, you are new to life insurance. You just started that venture of life insurance as a life insurance agent. Mm-hmm. I know you're not new to knowing what life insurance is, but
right.
Help us understand. Well, how did you get into life insurance, and what's the importance of someone getting life insurance?
So I got into it because one of my friends kept telling me, man, you need to come join me, you need to join me. He was already working there and was already doing it. And I was like, I don't know, man. He had been telling me for a couple of years I need to look into it because I was already so passionate and deep into the financial literacy. So he was like, you need to really do this. So I started looking into it and studying it and thinking, you know, I need to go ahead and do it. Man, I took that exam in May, passed it the first try, which I was really excited about because most people, I think they said like 70% of people fail it the first time. So I was excited about that. Passed it and started with New York Life in June. And I just hit the ground running, never looked back, you know. But it was like I wanted to do something that I knew, one, would help people, and I wanted to do something that I knew would give me the freedom and time to enjoy life, you know, because I don't have a place that I go to work or I can go to the office whenever I want, but I work from home, you know, I take my time, right. I schedule things based off of what I'm doing. I'm not on the phone all day. I do my appointments, I'm done, you know, it just works better for me. If I say I don't want to work today, I don't work, you know. If I want to work longer one day, I work longer. It really gives me the time and the freedom to work, but have a work-life balance, you know. So that's how I got into it, and why the reason I got into it was really just having that the time and the freedom, but having the ability to make money whenever I want it.
Right. Nah, that's what's up. So, like, as a life insurance agent, I know it's – We want to have agents who are more than just selling life insurance, but also on the other end, we don't want to be the people who are on the side of the street selling fish plates to bury our loved ones, anything, or for different needs. So, like, other than just making sure people have money for burials, like, what's the whole purpose of having life insurance? How does it help?
Yeah. So a lot of people don't understand life insurance in the sense of, like, benefits. They only think, oh, life insurance is just for a funeral to bury somebody or this or that. And, you know, that's just one aspect of it. What life insurance really is it can be a tool to help you or your child or generations after you really create wealth. And that's really what it is. It's a way to create and preserve wealth. I'll give you an example, right? So, well, two examples. One is, let's say, your mom got life insurance when she was, let's say, 30. You know, she had this life insurance policy for 40 years, just paid a little money every month, never changed because it's just the same whole life policy. Well, during that time, if she had the whole life policy, let's just say, you know, she passed away and left you whatever was in that death benefit. Well, let's say the policy that she originally started with was a $200,000 policy. Well, 40 years passed by. Now that policy is worth close to probably like $400,000, you know?
Right.
And now the insurance company writes you a check because you're the beneficiary of that policy. Now, what do you do? If you know what to do with the money, you go and you flip that money and make it grow for you. So now you and your family will have all of the, you know, be able to reap the benefits of having that life insurance, you know, and that's what a lot of people do, that you look at it and be like, man, how did they get so much? How did they get so rich? Their parents or grandparents left them money, life insurance. They died and had $1 million policy or $500,000 policy because they're not that expensive. You know, with whole life, you're able to have a cash value. You're able to be your own bank with whole life. So you're able to pay into a policy and have that policy pay you back. And people don't realize that it's more than just the death benefit, man. That's just one aspect. You're able to also write off taxes. You know, you're able to use what you pay and write it off in taxes. You're able to get a dividend annually, stuff like that. It's so much, man. But I try to educate people on it and show them that this is something that, especially if you have kids, that you want to do, because you want to give your kids a better start and a better future than what you had. I didn't have, you know, money coming up or my mom leaving me a life insurance plan coming up where if she passed away, I was going to be rich. It was nothing like that. But that's what a lot of these rich white people are doing for their kids. Why you look at them and they're like 30 years old with all this money. You know, so
that's
really what it is, man. It's another investment vehicle, just like real estate. It's just like real estate. It's a way to hide taxes. It's a way to grow your money. And it's a way to basically flip money over time, just like real estate.
Right. Now, I'm with you because I know for me personally, I have three things. Like I got my full 3B stuff I'm investing in. I got my two portfolios that I invest in. Like I said, I'm learning how to trade. I have my life insurance and my businesses and stuff running. So I'm just doing what I can. I'm living like I'm poor. Well, now I'm living like I'm poor. I'm living within my means and below my means.
Your means.
I got vehicles where I got money stacked away and vehicles to make money grow and stack them away. So it makes me feel good when I hear you saying stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, I got that. I'm in these places.
So you're doing the right thing.
Because, you know, 10 years ago, I had none of that stuff. But now I have it, so it's a good thing. And learn how to grow. Also, before we go further, you were talking about I learned about you have a course. You have a educational course that you have. Could you tell us about that one? And I'm gonna have you say it again at the end of the show. But your educational course, what's that about?
Yeah, my educational course is on trading. It's called The Profit Moguls, and just the website for it is theprofitmoguls.com. THE Profit is PROFIT and moguls, MOGULS.com. And what I do is I have videos already made where I go over the basics. I go over the foundations of trading, terminology, just stuff you need to understand. Then I go in a little bit deeper into technical analysis, and that's where you learn how to read charts. You understand candlestick patterns. You know what to look for, you know. That's where you talk about support and resistance, just how to find trade setups. Then the last part of the course is solely on strategy and psychology. So that was the big part for me is I kind of knew how to trade, but I didn't have the psychology and the strategy down. So I didn't know why I was losing trades or what would make me emotional about trading. I was getting too emotional. You know, you have to learn to detach your emotions from trading. So
yeah, you do.
That's what I teach in my course, man. Because like you said, you got emotional about a demo account that wasn't even real money, but you saw how you reacted, you know? You saw how you felt.
Yeah.
So it's emotions, man.
Yeah. And it's just the whole, like, going to the whole thing, the whole trade and everything. So, but like I said, I didn't understand support and resistance. I didn't understand having that risk management within a trade plan and actually having a trade plan. So now I understand that. That's what I'm looking to implement and create and build and construct that, make sure I improve it over time, risk management, having that plan. So when I do start on real money, because I don't want to create any bad habits on paper money and transfer those bad habits over to real money.
That's true. You don't want to do that. Yeah, get rid of all your bad habits.
Right. So, okay. So I appreciate that about life insurance. That was real good about life insurance. So you as an you as a as an entrepreneur, as a businessman, as a wealth builder, you have a couple things under your belt. You like the Batman of entrepreneurs, right? You got all these things on your belt. You got entrepreneur, forex trader, you know, you got life insurance, you're an educator, you're in the real estate, and you still find time to give back to the community and all those things. And you're a person that we never hear anything bad about you handling in your business. Out of all, you got all these other things going on, and like you say, you got into real estate. So, like, how did you even find time to get into real estate? And like, what was your purpose of getting into real estate?
So real estate I got into by really my wife, man, because she's a broker and she's had her own real estate company since I would say at least 15 years. Like she's had her own real estate company. So with her it was kind of like a no-brainer. You know, she was like selling all these houses and working for other real estate investors, making all this money. And she was like, "Jay, why don't we become the investors, get on the right side of the deal?" And I was like, "You're right." So we started buying our own properties, renting them, flipping them, doing things like that. And we were just like, "This is really what, you know, this is really how the millions are made. This is how that money is made." And the first one we did, we bought a foreclosure, and then with the foreclosure, we fixed it up. And of course, foreclosures are really cheap because the bank's trying to get rid of them off the books. So we bought one,
Right.
put a little bit into it. After it was all said and done, we probably put like total, like from buying the house for 92, putting in maybe 20 or 30. I think it came out like maybe 115 total, right? Well,
Correct.
when we went to sell that house 3 years later, we bought it in 2014, sold it in 2017. We actually sold it for 215. So we literally made 100 grand, $100,000 that we did not have to pay taxes on. Because you don't have to pay capital gains if you if you sell a house that was your primary residence for 2 years, right? So a lot of people
Right.
don't know that, and of course, if nobody tells you, how would you know? But if you buy a house and you live in it for 2 years, it's your primary residence. When you go to sell it, you do not have to pay taxes on it. So all of that money, $100,000 cash, boom, that's our money. We don't pay taxes on it. We don't have to share it with nobody. Nothing. When I saw that and I saw how real it was, I was like, "Oh my God, wow, we got to do this more often."
Exactly.
You know,
Oh
so
man.
that was, you know, and then we teamed up with some other people and did a deal, but we never lived in it. We just flipped, fixed it up and then flipped it and sold it. But, you know, it's cool to do that. It's cool to do Airbnb. That's good. Right now it's a little tricky with COVID and everything, but last year was great with COVID, just having another income. You know, you work, you make the
Yeah.
money, but then Airbnb makes the money for you. You don't really do nothing but schedule the cleaners, talk
Right.
to the guests. So that was good too.
That's what's up. Yeah, man. So y'all, and to have somebody who in your life that supports you and then y'all can be on the same page and build with, that's huge. Because I always hear the wealthy of the wealthy talk about marrying the right person, having that right loved one in your
Oh,
life
so
to
true.
help you build and not take away, not be a liability. Like your life partner have to be an asset as well.
Got to. They
That's
have to
what's up.
know. Like I tell my wife all the time, I'm like, "You're the smart one." You know what I'm saying? Like I know I'm smart, but I feel like she's even smarter because she's one, she's a woman, and they think totally different. They think totally different
Yeah.
than us. So I'll say something, and she'll be like, "Oh no, we can do it this way." Or, you know, she'll come up with a totally different idea that I'm like, "Oh, I never thought about it like that." You know, so I'm like, you got to have the right person when you marry, when you're looking for the person that you're gonna spend the rest of your life with. They have to be either on your level or better than you, and that's how it was with me. I wanted, you know, somebody that could honestly challenge me, teach me stuff, challenge me.
Right.
So.
I'm with you, definitely with you on that. Live to you talked about live to create, but you also are a speaker, motivational speaker, and you have other things going on. So, kind of tell us a bit more about you as a motivational speaker and some of the other businesses that you have going on.
Yeah, before COVID, I was speaking over at, like, TCC, talking to freshmen. I would go to high schools, talk to basketball teams. I would go to, like, different places in the Big Bend area and talk to different groups throughout the community. But after COVID, I haven't done so much public speaking. The last one I did was actually for Juneteenth. I went out to Lake Ella, and I spoke to some people that were celebrating Juneteenth. So that was the last real public speaking thing that I did. But, you know, when things start to open back up, they, you know, free up a little bit more. I like to get back into it.
That's what's up. All right, yeah. And I think your speaking is good, too, because coming from a different angle of I have a pet peeve. It's just me, of motivational speakers who only are satisfied with the motivational aspect and don't really understand that people still need to know how to do it. So it's one thing to get people motivated to do it, but people still need to know how and still need resources. So if you can motivate them but also help them get the resources that they need, I think that'll make the speaker more powerful, because now you are an actual asset to the person rather than just a voice.
So, exactly. I agree.
That's why I like what you got going on, because you take the time to make sure, you know, as a teacher, you've been saying that, you said it many times, so as a teacher, you want to make sure people have the information and can use it. So,
Yeah, I had to realize that I could make an impact by, like, people look up to me, they see me as a leader. I've always been a leader just throughout sports and throughout my life, so I've always had a way to speak to people, connect with people, and I was like, you know what, this is really what I'm supposed to be doing, and I really started to enjoy it and like it. So I just really tried to focus on doing anything that aligned with that as much as I could.
That's what's up. So what's your overall purpose? Like, you don't have to do anything that you're doing. What's your overall purpose? What's your motivation? What's the why? Why did Jonathan Kelly wake up one day and say, I want to change my life, I want to build wealth, I want to have a legacy for my family? Like, why are you doing what you're doing?
Honestly, man, the purpose for me is to really be a positive impact and influence throughout culture, throughout community, to influence the younger generations, and to just show people what's possible if you sacrifice, if you're willing to you know, dedicate yourself to something and to help others. Like, I really want to be the catalyst to put people in a better position. You know, like, people say all the time that they can't do this or they can't do that. It's not that they can't do it, they don't know how to do it. Like, they can do it, they could do it if they knew how, you know? So it's being that person that can, like, show them, not do it for them, because I've had people be like, man, just let me give you a couple thousand, you can trade it for me. I'm like, well, why would I do that? Yeah. When I got my couple thousand, I could trade it for myself. I want to show you how to do it. Because guess what? If I trade for you, make you money, you're going to want more. You're not going to learn for yourself. If I lose your money, you're going to be like, dang, you lost my money. So it's like, I'm not even going to put myself in that position. I want to teach people how to fish instead of give them fish. And that's my whole, that's really my whole goal, is to help people, help people learn how to be self-sufficient and make money on their own, not depend on other people, you know?
Exactly. All right, so, I appreciate you, because you gave a lot of great information today. Really broke some things down that I feel in a way that people can understand, they can actually use the information. So we're down to our final question, and this is a question that we ask all of our guests, and we record this question because we always get different answers. So the question is, if you were the all-powerful ruler of Black America, like, you got all the power, you can do whatever you want to do, what would you change, and what would your message to the people be?
Man, that's a good one. What would I change, and what would my message be? All right. What I would change would be school, and I would change school, and I would also change work, because I would change, you know, because I can't go and make people change their mindset. But what I can change is the paradigm that we live in, that we've been taught, which is go to school and then go to work, right? Because what I've realized is a lot of people are only doing these things that were taught, that were tradition, you know. But I would change the way school is done. I would say, you know what? I'm going to say in school we're going to learn how to run businesses. We're going to learn trades. We're going to learn skills, you know, because that's the stuff that you really need when you get into the real world. It doesn't matter about algebra, and it doesn't matter about chemistry, and it doesn't matter about, unless you're going to be in the medical field, none of that stuff is relevant. You know, you need to learn how to do taxes. You need to learn how to build your credit. You need to learn how to leverage your credit. You need to learn how to budget. They don't teach none of that stuff in school. So I would say, man, if I was in charge of the black community, I'd say everybody got to go through these courses right here. Everybody got to take this stuff from starting in middle school throughout high school, and you're going to learn it like the back of your hand. So that's what I would change. And what was the other part of that question?
I was saying, what would your message be?
My message would be,
don't be afraid to take risks. That's pretty much what I say now. Don't be afraid to take risks, because the ones who actually are taking the risk are the ones that everybody's working for.
Yeah, that's real. Now that's real.
You look at think about it. You look at, let's just break it down to the stuff that we use every day. All right, we use iPhones, we use computers, we use Amazon. Okay, they took a risk. You know, years ago they took a risk. Microsoft, Bill Gates took a risk. Steve Jobs, he took a risk with Apple. Jeff Bezos took a risk. All of these guys took risks. And now, you know, billionaires, they built trillion-dollar companies, right? But at the end of the day, they employ all these other people that are working for them because they took the risk. So to me, it's nothing more important than taking risk. Because the only reason you don't take risk is because you're scared or you're comfortable. And I don't like to be neither one. I'm never scared, and I never like to stay comfortable.
Right. Like, comfortable will get you messed up.
Yep.
And comfortability is opportunity.
Exactly. And I tell people all the time, you should not be afraid, because fear isn't real. It's something that it's really an illusion that we're telling ourselves so that we don't have to feel uncomfortable. But it's not real.
There you go.
You know, like when you're afraid, you're only afraid because you don't know. You're like, what if I fail? Well, stop being afraid and try and see. You know, and I have to tell my kids all the time, get up and do it again. You know, I look at failure like, I know it's going to happen, so let me just go ahead and get it over with. I heard Gary Vee say, when you're in your 20s, you should fail as fast as you can and as much as you can.
Yeah.
Because, one, you're learning from every failure. And, two, you're getting it out of the way so you can go on to the next thing and fail, and then getting it out of the way and going to the next thing and fail. You know, some of the greatest people in our history that did stuff that failed, you know, they didn't get it right the first time. That's why I don't quit on things that I know have the potential to be huge.
Yeah, so. That's real. Man, definitely appreciate you, bro. Like, I appreciate you reaching out to me, and I appreciate you being available to come on the podcast and spit this game that you did to the people. You dropped a lot of jewels on people, so I hope they're picking it up.
You're welcome.
They're taking their notes and things, man.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Follow me. Tell everybody know. Can I let them know where they can follow me at?
Yes. I was just about to ask that. How can people get in contact with you?
Okay, definitely, man. Like I said, my website is theprofitmoguls.com. That's one way. You can find me on Instagram at live_create. That's LIVE_create. I'm also on Instagram under The Profit Moguls. So, nice. Yeah, man. Yeah, I would love, you know, to connect with people, answer more questions. If anybody's interested in the course, you know, we can talk about it, take the course. I help anybody out so that they can learn how to be successful in the markets. If there's anybody that needs life insurance, you know, I'm there for that as well. To help them, their family or friends out with life insurance. So that's another thing that just in the black community, man, I don't know. We don't want to talk about it. You know, we don't want to talk about somebody passing away, so we avoid the whole conversation and they never talk about it. But then guess what happens? When somebody dies, they're like, man, we got to do a GoFundMe to get ten grand.
Yeah. You cut off.
You know, just for 10 grand. Yeah. So it's like, why not just start when you start doing something now instead of having to look back. You mess around and get sick. Now you can't get insured.
There you go. So, and you say The Profit Mogul is theprofitmogul.com.
Correct. Yep, The Profit Mogul. Right. So right. It's moguls with an S. So not M-O-G-U-L, okay, but right. M-O-G-U-L-S, moguls. The Profit Mogul.
All right, the Profit
check out the website.
I'll make sure I got it. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I
appreciate you being on the podcast, and you already know, man, we got to stay connected because you do a lot of good in the community, and you give a lot of good information, so we definitely have to stay connected and make sure that we continue to have these conversations on this platform. So you're welcome anytime.
All right. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
No problem. You have a good night as well.
All right. Okay.
All right. All right, cool. We got Mr. Jonathan Kelly. One time for Mr. Jonathan Kelly coming on and dropping them jewels, Master Musa style, ain't it? I think we found Pat. Pat, is you here?
Yeah, man, I've been on.
Okay, look, hey, Pat was watching flicks earlier, so he got caught up, so he back now.
Nah, man, I was having, like, major issues trying to, and it was everything too. Like it was my phone and my computer. So I was like, you know what? And then by the time I got it fixed, you was like on question 5, and I was like, yo, they rolling. I'ma just listen to
it. Yeah. Nah, that's all good, man. My internet acting stupid today too, man. So I feel you. And this technology, man. I watch. That's why I watch iRobot like I do, because I know this technology we can't trust.
You still watching iRobot like that?
I still watch iRobot like it's a documentary.
The documentary. Nah, that was a good interview, though. I caught pretty much all of it, actually. That was a good, I always tell you, though, Joe, I think you do your thing on the interviews. You know, you be rolling. So that was a good one. There was a lot of good information got shared on that.
Yeah. Bro, do his thing. Definitely do his thing. Y'all make sure y'all check out our website, freedomtrainradio.com. Make sure you download the app. With these shows, make sure y'all download the episode. Make sure you like the episode. Make sure you comment. Make sure you, whatever platform you on, give us 5 stars. We need them 5 stars to help us grow. The more you comment, the more you like, the more you share. The more you give us some 5 stars, the more you download, the more we grow, the more people can hear us, and we can give you all more if you can help us grow. So it's just, you help us, you scratch our back, we scratch your back and your front. That's how we do it right here. Hey, man, Pat, you scratch it. Hey, you scratch it. You better get your nails together. You scratch it, bro.
Nah, but... You know, I support you and your scratching. Go ahead.
Hey, man, you know, y'all make sure y'all check out our various podcasts. Of course, every Wednesday, make sure you hear the Freedom Train podcast series. Every Monday, make sure you check out the Fix Sports podcast. Every Wednesday, also make sure you check out Shelby's World podcast. Tuesdays, Enigma Sept Hour. Saturdays, Lessons from the Screen, as well as On the Shoulders of Giants. And we got more and more stuff that's going to be coming. So make sure y'all check us out. You got any parting shots, Pat?
Hey, oh yeah, hey, y'all make sure y'all check out On the Shoulders of Giants has made a comeback. So the last few weeks, if y'all ain't been paying attention, new episodes been coming out on that podcast.
Oh, yeah, it's back. Homie don't know how to act, so definitely. And got a whole bunch of more stuff that hits in your face with it also, James, so make sure y'all check that out. And, man, you know, Freedom Train Network, we growing. We're growing, so make sure y'all continue to rock with us and communicate with us. Remember, we're on Instagram at Freedom Train Network, Facebook, Freedom Train Network, Twitter, Freedom Train Net, Lessons from the Screen. What's Lessons from the Screen handle? Is it Lessons from the Screen on Instagram?
I think it is Lessons FT Screen.
Okay, Lessons FT Screen on Instagram. Make sure y'all follow that. Make sure y'all join the Fix Sports Podcast group on Facebook. We out here, and subscribe to the Freedom Train Network YouTube channel. Definitely subscribe to that. We got a lot of good things going on over here, and it's going to keep going. So, with that being said, he's Patrick Irvin. Shout out to Mr. Jonathan Kelly. Appreciate you coming by. I am Joseph Ward, and we finna get up out of here, man. So two fingers in the air like a player.